And Colin, let's start with the Indy 500. And Connor Daly with his quote, someone needs to go to Ferrucci's pit and let them know that he's a psychopath. Like, he didn't hold back.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of people asking, and unfortunately I haven't come up with a trophy, but you know, I had the pleasure of spotting for Connor a couple of years ago at the Rolex 24-hour race, and he's just a great kid, but I've got to give that my award for the greatest quote of May for the Indy 500. Like, what a crazy scenario. Like, there was a lot of video from that, and you know, it was that quote came back to carb day. So that was the last time for the teams to be on track, and that was their last chance to really work on their race setup. And, you know, I mean, I saw it pretty clearly that as Connor was catching Ferrucci, he was racing him. And, you know, that's not really accepted procedure. That's not, like, it's not prohibited, but, you know, there's a gentleman's agreement, a driver's agreement that, you know, we're really just testing, we're just practicing. So, you know, you don't take it so seriously. But yeah, like, driving a guy down to the grass in practice is not the best move.
It sounded like there was some issues with the pit stops. Why, it seems to me, is there a layout of chaos in pit stops, or like, why does sometimes it comes unhinged during that time?
Well, this year was unique from the standpoint that a number of drivers were losing control of their cars entering pit road. You know, Steph Wilson, you know, he's never really been a full-time driver in the IndyCar series. I think his last full-time gig was in Indy Lights. But he's run the Indy 500 a number of times. Very experienced driver. But even full-time guys, Will Power, Scott McLaughlin, new to the series, but he's excelled. Ryan Hunter-Reay, they all had problems on pit road where they were losing control of their cars. And, you know, I got sent a story, you know, like probably about 5 minutes before we got on the phone, talking about from Racer Magazine, from our friend Marshall Pruitt, who basically wrote a story on what was going on with the brakes. And it's not surprising to me. I mean, I send you guys a few notes that we reference the show on, you know, where I use the term that the teams were playing with the brakes. So what teams will do, especially at the 500, is they'll pull the brakes back. They'll actually, you know, they've devised systems to get the pads off of the brake rotor. And I mean, we're talking about thousands of an inch of difference, but when the pads are close to the brake disc, they actually create friction, and that friction generates heat, but it also costs some speed. By these teams pulling the brakes back, that reduces that friction and gives you the slight potential to go a bit quicker. The downside is, as guys are coming onto pit road, they're getting to turn four, which is really unique. You know, the whole month, the procedure is for the teams to come off the track at turn three on the service road. So they get a lot of deceleration time during the race. They maximize every second, come off a turn four at, you know, essentially whatever turn four speed is, about 220, you know, 218 miles an hour, put their foot on the brake. And that's where, you know, the pucker factor, where their backsides will actually extrude about an inch when you put your foot to the floor and there's no brake. And these guys will be like pumping the brakes as quick as they can to try and build pressure. What was happening is they're only like the when they finally started getting brake line pressure again, they were only engaging the rear brakes. If you get full rear brake lock, I don't care who you are as a driver, you are going to lose control of your car. If, you know, it went the other way around where they get the front brakes, you can still slow down. It's not going to be as efficient, but just rear brakes is, there's nobody in the world that can handle that.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was an interesting one with lots of crashes. And, you know, how about Castro Neves, though, comes out of retirement. Now he's won four Indy 500s. Like, some guys, it just seems, you know, like certain golfers, Colin, they like certain golf courses, right? Like, they're game suited for it. Is Helio just built for that, for the 500?
Man, it's tough to argue with that. He raced super, super well. Now, I'll say with no hesitation, Helio is not my favorite driver in the world. But, man, he put on a clinic on Sunday. being very patient, not being too aggressive. You know, the tendency in the beginning part of the race with the younger drivers like Colton Herta, Alex Palou and those guys, they really wanted to lead. And they were fighting each other back and forth. You know, they would draft, pass, it was kind of pointless because really the race doesn't really start till the last 100 miles or, you know, the last, whatever you want to say, 25 to 50 laps. And, Castroneves, basically stayed in the top 10, didn't get into any trouble. Candidly, I thought he made his move too early. He made the pass with about three laps to go, which should have set him up to get repassed again. But kudos to him. I mean, he joins a very, very exclusive club. There's only four-time winners there. So for a guy that's only going to do one race this year, as the schedule's laid out, he's done okay.
Talking all things racing with the Cantrell Grayson Report with Colin Livingston. Colin, let's shift over to NASCAR. And, how does that work when Charlotte Motor Speedway changes the grass to turf? What kind of effect would that have on the cars in the race?
We've talked about that a little bit in the past where, guys have lost control, whether it's their doing or not. They get into the infield, especially with the stock cars. With this big splitter that'll dig into the ground, the car, has a very abrupt halt, destroys the car. They often flip, tumble, drivers get hurt that way. On the weekend, young Ty Gibbs, he's only 18 years old. The son of, legendary NFL coach and now NASCAR team owner Joe Gibbs. He had that spin, lost control of his back end, went to the infield, basically, cannot say enough positive things to Charlotte Motor Speedway for making that because, that change saved that car for sure. And not only did it save his car, it got him back on track, did a pit stop, and he went back to win that race. Like, super, super impressive drive by that young fella. Who later went on, they ran the ARCA race later on that night, and he won that too after never really competing a lap at that racetrack. But yeah, no, the getting rid of, actual grass for AstroTurf, beautiful move by Charlotte. Hopefully more tracks follow suit.
Do you think they will?
It's obviously an expense, buy the stuff. And, I don't know enough about this to know if they can actually put sponsor logos on and then replace them or if they actually have to cut out the sections to create that. But, to not have to water, to not have to mow, to not have to replace, I think big picture, it's probably a cost savings. But, NASCAR, IndyCar, they've done a really good job by making sure that safety remains one of the priorities and being able to see firsthand that, watching that car just slide without any of the damage. It was awesome. I hope the rest of the guys follow suit, the rest of the tracks, pardon me.
And Colin, going to F1, they're going to Azerbaijan. It's the second street race in a row, but very different than Monaco because there's long straightaways here. So are you expecting more passing? And if so, is there a car that maybe should surprise just because of how the layout is at Baku?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I'm kind of laughing. Would I expect more passing than Monaco? I mean, yes, because there was no passing at Monaco. That was an absolute parade. Those cars are just too big, and that track is like track. It's streets. They're antiquated. At Baku, the front straightaway is, and I don't know this with 100% certainty, but it's the longest or amongst the longest straights on the F1 calendar. So as long as you can stay close to the guy in front of you, you get on that straightaway, even without, without DRS, which the guys will have, it's a pretty easy pass. There should be a little bit of overtaking, specifically on that front straightaway. You could be a lot faster than somebody in the inner part of that track, but you just can't pass. It's pretty tight there. That balances out how easy it should be on the front straightaway. But yeah, I'm kind of thinking that Williams might be a threat to grab a point or two this weekend, because their car is so good in a straight line. If they can, you know, if they can play that game where they stay caught up, and it'll likely be George Russell, not Nick Latifi, but I wouldn't be surprised to see those guys put some points on the board here this weekend.
What type of developmental gains can they do? When I say do, the cars and their engineers, what kind of gains could they make between races, specifically ones like this that are, you know, same type of track?
Yeah, I mean, at least Red Bull and Mercedes, they're working, you know, nonstop. They are always looking for the next thing, the little bit of it, like aerodynamic, where they can get a little bit more downforce with or reduce a little bit of drag. So since the last, you know, real race, it's been almost a month. There should be some upgrades coming to these guys. But not everyone's in that mode, because, you know, a lot of these teams are really focusing all their development on next year's car when it's a completely different formula. It'll be really interesting. You know, nobody really gives a lot away leading up. They had all their media days today. You know, some guys are talking confidently. Mercedes didn't really say an awful lot. But, I think the win is going to be between, you know, Red Bull and Mercedes. I don't think... McLaren or, any of the other guys are going to be in contention like they have been. You know, Ferrari was a threat last weekend, you know, aside from their issues. It should be back to the, you know, bit of the status quo. Hopefully we see, you know, and that's why we watch racing, but hopefully we see that surprise somewhere that happens that makes things exciting.
Well, it'll be an interesting weekend, Colin. As always, great to catch up with you. We'll talk to you next Thursday. Have a good one. You getting on the track this weekend for you or what?
We were out last night, another test day. We still don't have the green light to race, but we're hoping by about June 15th we should be able to, to do it for real. She was a sweaty one last night. That was a lot of gravy that I ended up making in my car suit. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, a little brisk, a little warm last night.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Well, spray yourself off, Colin. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks a lot, guys.